The reason we come to the house of the Lord, according to the Bible, is that we might learn the ways of the Lord. We go to the house of the Lord to learn about God's ways. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us, when you go to the house of the Lord, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of foods. Because faith cometh by hearing. And we come to reverence His sanctuary, and we come to learn about the Lord. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. And I've never before shared this enthusiasm with the brethren that I can remember in this manner, because I didn't want to discourage anybody, and I wanted to help everybody. But did you know that when a person does not come to church and they stay out of church, they are backslid? Now, that's a hard statement. But did you know, according to the Bible, it doesn't matter if you're fasting, it doesn't matter if you're praying, it doesn't matter what you are doing, if you stay out of the house of God, you are in a backslidden condition. Now, it's like a question I asked today. I was talking to a brother today. He was out of church, and I was asking him why he wasn't in church. And he was telling me today why he wasn't in church. And I told him this today. I said, how can you or anybody say that they are a minister of the gospel and not go to church? I said, how could that possibly be? See, now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, to be a preacher is to preach the word. And to preach that people should go to the house of God. That's what the ministry is. If you're called to preach, you are called to tell people to repent of their sins and their negligence toward God, and to turn and start serving God and going to the house of God. Now, how can you possibly go out and preach that when you don't do it? Or how could you possibly look God square in the face and say that I'm called to preach that when you know you don't do it? Why, it doesn't even make sense, folks. That don't even make sense. You see, how can we possibly say that we've got the nature of the Lord Jesus, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, when the Bible firmly states that He was in the synagogue with a regularity? Jesus was always in the house of God, always. And besides that, He had plenty of time to pray. He had plenty of time to fast and do all the other things that the brethren insist that they cannot do and come to the house of God. Another thing is this. If we have the nature of the Lord Jesus, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how can that nature do anything but what it was when it was in that body? See, it cannot alter the Word of God. It cannot alter the Word of God, because that's what the nature is the Spirit of the Word, because the Word is Christ, and the Holy Ghost, which is the nature, is the Spirit of the Word. And the Bible said you can't even alter it. And wouldn't that be something? Now, if the Holy Ghost lived in me, and the Holy Ghost would say, now I know I can't alter my word, and the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together is. And I know some folks, they say, well, you assemble anywhere. If you come and they say, we get over here at Brother So-and-so's house and we sit and talk. Who in the world ever hatched up such as that? A man ought to be ashamed of himself to even talk like that. Now, that's a devil. I want to name that thing. That's a devil. That is a perverted devil that is trying to tear people away from the assembly of God. To say that we just get over here and talk when church is going on and come together just to hinder the work of the Lord and stay out is nothing less than a devil. That's perversion. And Jesus said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And it's just like something that just happened just... Well, I believe it was day before yesterday. I've been after some of the brethren about paying their bills. And I know that they get behind. I get behind. We all get behind with bills. I know that. But I mean not making an effort. And somebody just made a statement recently that I'm almost afraid to even repeat concerning a minister of God, because they made no efforts in such a long period of time to pay such a little bill.
And I don't know but what the man might have doomed his soul when he said it. But now who's to blame? The Bible said if you don't want them, the blood will be on your hands. See, now the blood of that man may be on the hands of the minister. The Bible said in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, we should shine as a light that they should have no evil thing to say about our good doings. Let your light so shine that all men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How? By seeing your good works. Now then, Jesus grew in favor with man and God. Now, brethren, that's going to make a difference. I was telling somebody today, and they said, well, the others get by with it. I can get by with it, too. And you can believe me that there's a brother I've been trying to work with, and he declares that one or two or three brethren or whatever it is has been a stumbling block to him. He said, I see them getting by with these things. And he said, if they get by with it and they have food to eat and a car to ride in, and he comes to me so many times with this. And these brethren make it hard on me. Paul said, these that preach the gospel for contention and strife, he said, they add to my stripes and my bonds. Now, and he says these things to me when I go to reason with him. Now, I know that that isn't going to justify us, brethren. Like I told the brother, that won't justify our wrong because somebody else does wrong. But remember this, the Bible said, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, meditates in it day and night. This man will prosper like a tree planted by the water, bring forth his fruit and his seed. Leaves will not wither, whatever he does will prosper. Now, what I'm saying here is it's hard for me to answer these people. But I told the brother today, I said, now I want to say something here. I said, I know of a certain brother. This brother had a certain thing wrong with him. He was giving place to a spirit. And I said, I saw it in a vision many years before calamities ever befell the brother. I said, and I tried to tell the brother and work with the brother, but he didn't pay attention. I said, other men saw him prospering and saw all the things that was happening to him. And they thought, well, if he's getting by with it, I can. And some of them did go after him. Not in the measure or the degree that he did. I said, but what they didn't know is the same thing perhaps that you don't know, is what kind of price down the road will these brethren pay for their negligence? Now you say they're getting by with it. They're not getting by with it. I told him today, I said, if they're getting by with it, then I'm a false prophet. Well, he said, I don't want to call you a false prophet. I said, but you might as well to call me a false prophet. I said, because I say that they're not getting by with it. And if they are getting by with it, then I'm false because I said they wouldn't get by with it. That makes me a liar. But they won't get by with it. They won't get by with it. Now then, what kind of price will they pay? I don't know. It may be the loss of their baby. It may be the loss of some loved one. I don't know what it will be, but it will be something. I tell you that in the name of the Lord, it'll be something. It's got to be paid for. Willful sin or negligence, whatever it is, it must be paid for. There's no way for you nor I nor anybody else without respect to person to get around it. It's got to be paid for. Now, listen. This man had a big price to pay. The death of two of the members of his family, as well as many other wrecks and heartaches and sorrows and problems. See, that was on his record. A lot of times we look at somebody else and say, well, they're getting by, but what makes you think they're getting by just because God is long-suffering? That doesn't mean they're getting by. He said, someday I'll reprove you to your face, and you'll see that I'm not such a one as you are or what you think I am. Beware ye that forget God, he said, lest I tear you into pieces. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. He said, I'm long-suffering. All of these ladies that's flying up and cursing and snorting, you're not getting by. You think Brother Pike don't know about it? I know about your temper fits. I know about your hardness. I know about your lying. I know about you doing the way you're doing. I know about it. Every bit of it gets to me. If somebody don't tell me, the Lord shows it to me. See, you are not getting by with it. You are going to pay for it. If you don't pay for it, then I say again, I'm a false prophet. And there ain't a word of truth in me. You will pay for it. And I tell you that in the name of the Lord. You will pay for it. You men that speak under your breath and say things to my back and think the wrong things and do the wrong things, you will pay for it. You will. It will be paid for. Now, friend, the Lord is trying his best. He's trying his very best to help us. That we would judge ourselves. We have no need to be judged. But if we are judged by God, which is by the word or the ministry, the judgment beginning at the house of the Lord, whoever he blesses is blessed, whoever he curses is cursed. And he certainly can't bless nobody that's not in harmony with the word. And he can't curse anybody that's in harmony with the word. Thank you, John. That's right. You understand what I'm saying? Now then, what is the word? Well, you know what it is. Some of you know it better than I do. I'm pretty sure. Now, somebody said, well, I don't know nothing about the word because I ain't been with Jesus. Brother, if you've been with the devil, you know about it. He quoted it to Jesus right down the line. So if you've been with him, you still know about it. He knows it. The Lord has made it so that you must pay. You must pay. If some of you brethren think the brethren are getting by with these things and everything's going all right, you just go on along with them and you just go on and do it. And then at the end of the trail, we'll all count up and see where everything is standing. And then we'll find out how much they got by with it or how much they got by with. Is that all right? Give it enough time. Give enough time. And then we'll see. And I say this, if at the end of the way, I'm his witness tonight in the earth. If at the end of the way, if he alters one tiny little bitty feather edge of his word, I'm a false prophet. If he doesn't fulfill every jot and every tittle right down to the feather edge, I'm a false prophet. He'll do it just as sure as I stand here. I warn you tonight because I done been down the trail and I know it's thus saith the Lord. Now you can receive it or ever what you want to do with it. You know, there was something else I was thinking of. Then I was kind of saying something to brother today and he made mention that I had said something, a little something, concerning him taking some groceries over to another brother. And of course, you brothers know how I am. You know, I'd let somebody starve to death. It'd be hard for me to give anybody anything. But anyway, he felt that I had said something which was wrong. I didn't. And I reminded him I didn't. I said, if you recall, I told you that what you did was you violated the ordinance that we had set up. Not that there was anything wrong with the giving. I carefully told him that on the day I spoke to him. I said, it isn't that at all. You know, Satan always tries to get around the word. And he takes the spiritual children to speak to do it. And they think they're real big, you know. And they think they see it. And they're so sure they see it. And you're wrong. And then, of course, they have to come back and face it and find out they was wrong. But anyway, I said what it was. Y'all can go on down if you'd like. Now, I said what it was. I said I didn't say anything against taking the brother something to eat. I said, I spoke to you about violating the agreement that we as the brethren had amongst us. Is that right? Did we have an agreement? I just got through saying, be Be sure that God won't alter it. Be sure he won't do it. Be sure. All right, now, I made the statement. I said what you did was violate. I know you say, well, ain't you going over and see about it? Listen, it's important. You don't know how that grieves me. You don't know how I'd love to lay this mic down and get over as quick as I can. But this is more important. If it means my son's life or my brother's life, God comes first, whatever it is. Now, I just got through saying they violated. I said you violated our agreement as brethren. What is the need of coming together with brethren if you're going to do that? What's the need of making agreements? Now, I don't say anything sometimes to the brethren about it for this reason. They would come back and say, well, Brother Branham said, don't let your right hand know what your left one's doing. And they put him in, and I know all those kind of things. I mean, I'm not born yesterday in that sense. I understand the Bible said give in secret. And I do give in secret. And I believe people ought to give in secret. There's a world of people out yonder that you can give to in secret. But when it comes to this little immediate group right here, we had an agreement to work together.
Amen.
Is that right? As brothers, to learn to form unity and coordination, to become as an army, to work for God. Is that right?
Amen.
And we agreed to do that by the Bible. That if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. Not to make any special efforts to go to him. Not to count him as an enemy, the Bible said, but admonish him as a brother. For if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. God was the one that told Paul to say that. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying in my heart, and I'm saying to you, that if a brother do this thing, and if a brother be guilty of this thing, then what should we do? Tell me now, what should we do? Somebody said, well, I'll go give the brother something if you don't. I'm not going to let anybody go hungry if I can help it. Now, I might neglect them a little bit alone. I might do that, see? Now, but I personally am not going to let them go hungry. I'm going to look after them, but I'm going to let them hit some rough spots as it goes along. Because now who, brother, sister, who is it that is in violation? The one that's letting the man go hungry? Or the man that's bringing the man food? It's not the man that's letting him go hungry that's in violation. It's the man that's giving him food because he's going contrary to God's word. God said if he don't work, neither shall he eat, to admonish him as a brother and withdraw from him that he might learn better. So the man that's doing that, the devil is prompting that man to tear down the word of God, to cause conflict, and to keep everything out of unity, to keep men from working together. So you see, you're following Satan and not following God.
Amen.
Somebody said, ain't you afraid to say that? No. If I can't preach the word, I might as well to quit. That's the word. Now he said, but somebody might have done it out of the goodness of the heart. I can't help if you did do it out of the goodness of your heart. When you're in violation of the word, it's still not God. God doesn't alter his word. He doesn't tell me to do one thing and then go around the corner and tell you to do something else. He don't do it. Somebody said, well, he just calls you to withdraw, Brother Pike, so that and then tell you to go over there and take care of it. No, sir, that's a lie of the devil. All that would make me look like a fool. That's all. It wouldn't help the kingdom of God at all. The Lord tells us to work together. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, when you go contrary to it, I told this brother, he said, well, when I got in a tight, this brother brought me something. Sure, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Is that God or is that the world? I mean, you might as well call black, black, and white, white.
Amen.
Somebody said, but they're Christians. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Wrong's wrong. When Balaam done wrong, he done wrong. He could see vision, but he done wrong. Now, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Sure, them little boys over there, they ain't going to help us. So if you want to lazy around over here, I'll give you something. Now I'll lazy around over here and you give me something. We'll both reproach the kingdom of God and bring a bad name to the kingdom of God and let your good be evil spoken of by people. Come on, say amen, folks. It's the truth. That's the reason I can't get nowhere now. Some of you say, half-hearted, you won't stand with me. You don't know what's right and what's wrong. You don't know which way you're going. Somebody have a dream or hear something, they live so much off of that until they don't know what is the Bible anymore. If you'd get out of the rut and get into the Word of God, you could go along with what we're saying. Now then, who's in violation? You are in violation when the Bible said you must strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of fellowship. And when we set up something that is absolutely the Word of God with all wisdom, with all love and all decency, I told that brother today, I said, he was just as much in violation in coming to you as you was in going to him. I said, because every one of us agreed that if a brother was in need, we would come to the brethren and we would get together and go help the brother. Somebody said, but maybe you wouldn't help them. I haven't refused the one of them yet that I know of. Said, but you said leave him alone. I tell you what, if we agree to leave him alone according to the Word of God, I'm for it. It don't matter who it is. Now, you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm saying that you're wrong. When you go help somebody like that, I don't care how good you feel like you're doing, you're wrong. There's bloodthirsty men. There's rotten, whorish women that somebody takes them something to eat every day of the week. Satan sees it, they get it. And you call that God? No. No. It's not God. Somebody said, that's a rain on the just and the unjust. No. That's a misinterpretation of the Scriptures. Amen. I tell you something else. When I preach to some of you out there and you receive it out of constraint, it ain't going to do you no good. You got to receive it because you want it. Because you want it. Praise the Lord. I hate to have to call out one spirit after another or one person after another over and over and tell you the way that their spirit changes and how it is this morning, and then it's changed to this position tonight and then changed from that. It grieves me. I know it grieves them, and it grieves me, and I just go on and bypass it. And then that grieves me because I bypass it because I know that it's out there. And then that makes them think that they're getting by with it, and that strengthens them in it because they don't say anything about it, so I get grieved anyway I go. But it's not profitable for you to grieve the minister. No matter how you grieve them, it's not profitable. You can't be wrong about it. You are in a backslidden condition when you stay out of church. It doesn't matter who it is. And I told the brother today, when he come to me with that, he's been to me with that so many times. And I told him today, I said, anybody that stays out of church is backslid, and you tell them, I said so, and tell them, if they don't believe it, I said it, come to me and I'll tell them, you're a backslid. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. It's like I told that businessman the other day. He said, well, I don't feel like it, and I don't believe. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. It's what God's Word says about it. A lot of times I don't feel like a certain thing's going to happen, but it happens anyway. A lot of times I feel like a certain thing is going to happen, but it don't happen. It's what God's Word says about we're to live by faith in the Word of God and not by our feelings. As the song says, Brother John had us turn to here, you can't do wrong and get by. You can't do it. It's going to show up somewhere down the trail. Now then, brethren, I was thinking today, I said, God, what kind of ministry have we got? I look at one man's ministry, and what does it end up in? It ends up in a rock and roll. One man has a great ministry. It ends up in everybody shouting and hollering and nobody being clean and upright. Another man's ministry ends and a lot of people's puffed up with knowledge. I said, God, what's the end of a true ministry? The Lord said, when you teach people to be straight, walk right, and he quoted the scripture right to me just like that. He said, in the end of the commandment is this, charity out of a pure heart and faith unfeigned toward God. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that'll come to church, people that'll pay their bills, not some super duper that can see a vision or open a blind eye that's got a lot to say or crammed a lot of knowledge in his skull up here. Not that kind of thing. I don't want that kind of thing. I want one clean, upright person that'll pay their bills and live right and be the right kind of wife to their husband. I was thinking about the women today. Did you know, ladies, that when men come into your house, you are supposed to excuse yourself and go out of the room? You're not supposed to wait till your husband tells you. You're supposed to excuse yourself and go out of the room. And then if your husband invites you to come in and sit there, you should come in like a lady and sit there and enter into the conversation accordingly. But otherwise, you have no business in there, and you shouldn't have to be told to get out. Like my wife got upset with me today, you know. She told one of her sisters, said, my husband said every time there's men around, I'm around. I ain't nothing got nothing to hide. Somebody said, would you tell that from the pulpit? I ain't got nothing to hide. The righteous is bold as a lion. There ain't nothing done in secret. It won't come to the light. So what have I got to hide? I ain't got no skeletons in the closet. And I ain't fixing to start hiding. And somebody said, but you embarrass me. Well, it don't embarrass me. After all, I'm the one. So why should you be embarrassed? So we are just what we are. We're just what we are. Now, I don't know why women want to be around when men come around, but you know, a group of men come around, a lady, she wants to be right in the midst of them. And we got some men the same way. They're so feminine, you can get a group of women, and he's got to be right in the midst of them. Why they're like that, I don't know. It's the devil. Say, well, are there bad women? No, I don't believe my wife's a bad woman. I don't believe your wife's a bad woman. But that's still misconduct. That's still wrong. It's not a question as to whether they're good or bad. Because a man don't pay his bills, I'm not saying he's not a Christian. But I'll tell you what, he's in bad shape, and he won't stay a Christian very long if he don't start paying them. I'll tell you that. God might have given grace. Now, God gave me grace when I was in debt. God gave me grace when I was smoking. God gave me grace when I wasn't fit to pick up. But if I had continued in the evil way that I was going, God would have took my grace right quick. Now, folks, I'll read a little scripture here, and I'll probably get back on the same subject. Praise the Lord. I want to read just a little bit here in the 25th chapter, in the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now I want to say just a little bit here, and I'll try not to hold you long tonight. Now, first of all, why do people stay out of church? Is it necessary to come to church? Is it necessary? Now, first of all, we ought to know whether it's necessary or not. Is it needful to come to church? Brother John, if it's not needful to come to church, then the Lord has wasted a lot of precious talent, a lot of time, and turned a lot of people into a bunch of fools, in that there's churches built all over the world. Now, either there must have been a need for them, or God turned us into a bunch of fools. Now, if there is a need for it, and it should be built, then how can we stay out of it and please God? How can this be? Now, we know that it's needful now to come to the house of God. Why do people stay away from the house of God? Somebody said, well, because of this. And somebody said, it's because of that. And somebody said, well, it's because of this. But you want me to tell you what it's because of? It's because they don't have a desire to come to God's house. If a person had a desire to do a thing, they'd do it. What a man's got a desire to do, he'll do it. It doesn't make any difference if it's run a foot race, if it's to go possum hunting, if it's to go buy a cow or plow a field or fly an airplane or ride a boat or whatever it is. Whatever he's got a desire to do, he'll do it. That's why the Bible said whatever a child's doing, that's what he is. That's what he is. It doesn't matter what he calls himself, that's what he is. It's just exactly what he's doing. If he doesn't pay his bills, he's a man that don't pay his bills. That's what he is. If he won't come to church, he's a man that won't come to church. That's what he is. If he's a man that tattles and carries tales, he's a talebearer. If he's a man that's temperamental, that gets upset every time somebody tries to correct him, then he's haughty and he's heading for a fall. If it's somebody that every time you try to tell them something, they swallow it down but they don't want to do it, that's the kind of person they are. Just exactly. To a T. No changes, no alterations. That's what they are. Now then, somebody said, well, what does that matter? It matters this much. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't do those things. It doesn't do those things. If you are doing those things, it is the spirit of the devil. And you're going to answer to God for it. I said it's the spirit of the devil. Somebody said he might have not meant to say that. Just so you know that I meant to say it. Paul said, as I said so, I say again. Now, listen. Why don't people come to the house of God? They don't have the desire to come. It isn't in them. If it was in them, you couldn't keep them away. That's why they don't come. Now, they might use this, or they might use that, or they might use the other as an excuse to stay away, but the reason they don't come is they don't have the love of God toward the house of God to come to the house of God. If you can prove me a lie, I'm waiting for you. If you can prove me a lie, bring your Bible. I'm waiting for you right here. It's absolutely the truth before the living God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, my commandments are not grievous. He said, forsake not the assembling of thyself together as the manner of some is, or that is to say, as some people are going to do, he said. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some people are going to do, Jesus said. But he said, exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. And stay away from these people that get over at somebody's house and sit and gossip and talk all night, or exchange conversation with somebody and tell you that this is assembling themselves together. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible spoke of at all. Assembling yourselves together is just what the Bible called it. He said, when you come together in the assembly. Amen. I do not believe you should stay away from God's house. I believe it's wrong. I believe you're listening to the devil. I told a boy today, I talked with him today. I said, the reason you stayed away from God's house, I said, you listened to the devil. I said, he told you to do it. They quote the scripture to me where it said God doesn't want us to serve tables. Leave the word of God and serve tables. Said it's not meat. They quote that to me. And I told some of them the other night, I said they just half quoted. The devil always half quotes something to protect the flesh. The Bible says that it's not meet that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministering of the word. Now, if you're continually preaching out on the field, I understand. But if you're not, no need to lie against the truth. And besides that, when God called you to the judgment, he's not going to ask you how much you know about Brother Branham's message, or how much you know about Brother Pike's message, or how many books you know about, or how many tapes you've listened to, or how much knowledge you got. He's going to want to know what you did for God. According to righteousness, he said here, I was naked, hungry, sick, in prison. He said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the needy. You visit the widows. You go out yonder to help somebody that's in need. That you take something to the starving and to the hungry. This is what God is wanting you going to want to know, my friend. He's going to want to know how many hungry mouths you fed. How much that you sacrificed to share with somebody else. Not how much you know, not whether you got a head full of knowledge or not, not whether you can see visions, not whether you can open blind eyes. It doesn't say a thing about that. It says here in the judgment, he'll say, I was this and I was that, and what did you do about it? That's what it says here. This is what we're going to give an account for. Now, why does the Lord tell us, my friend, to go to the house of God? What good is it to go to the house of God? What's the need of Brother Pike preaching that we should be in the house of God? Why waste your time foolishly, Brother Pike, by telling people they ought to be in the house of God? Can you point out anything in the house of God that makes it, or in the Bible, that makes it needful for me to come or prove that I ought to be there? The only thing I know is the Bible said that judgment begins at the house of God. And that your sins are bound to you, are remitted, And if judgment begins at the house of God, and if the ministry is set there to perfect the saints, and if Jesus went to the house of God where they'd let him in to preach the word, then you're going to be held accountable. Praise God. Somebody said, but what if they don't let you preach the word? What if you go and they don't let you? Well, straighten up your crooked life. Straighten up your crooked life. The Bible said, make straight paths, he said. You say, but I think I got it straight. But it isn't what you think about it. It's what God's word says about it. Like somebody come to me not too long ago, and it was a certain preacher. They said, why is it you won't let him preach? I thought, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. This man has lived around this brother all this time, and he's caused problems and heartaches and sorrows and troubles, and he himself about gone crazy, and then asked me why I don't do it. I did it, but did it do any good? I did it for the brother's sake, but did it do any good? Like this brother I talked with today, he come over and he told me, said, Mr. Metters, over here. I tell you, I don't hide nothing. I ain't got nothing to hide. Somebody said, ain't you? No, just whatever we say, it'll come out anyway. Said, Mr. Metters, said somebody come by and gave him a check. Gave him a check for something and said, the check is good. I'm going right to the bank and deposit $1,000. Said the check went through. Or didn't go through, rather. And said Mr. Meadows was upset about it. Said he was upset about it. So, Mr. Meadows, he takes the liberty of telling somebody. Now look, I don't fight. I don't throw stones. But now I can be bold as a lion. I said, I know how to protect sheep as a shepherd. God's given me some understanding. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of devices of Satan. I know the cunningness of evil. And I know just exactly how to answer back. Now, said he didn't understand that as a Christian. Well, it is hard to understand. But complications could have set in. Is that right? Could have been good intentions. Is that right? Now, but I think sometimes we get too money hungry. Get our mind on us and what's happening to us too much. To be concerned about the kingdom of God enough to protect it by keeping our mouth shut. Every little thing comes up. So I'm going to say this tonight. I don't understand it all together, but I do see where there could be a remedy for it. But when a man turns to his wife and tells her she better straighten up because her backup light's showing, I don't see no explanation for that. Call himself a Christian and get in the pulpit or take a church. You can look at it any way you want to because that's the way I understand it. And anybody compromise and run around to do anything and all the time saying something to injure the kingdom of God, we're not a bunch of dogs. We have got some sense out here. I see what they're doing as well as they see what my people are doing. My people are trying to be honest, and a bunch of gossip is going about from place to place. I tell you, in the name of the Lord, God's going to set your fields on fire. You keep your hands off of them and keep your mouth away from them. Because if you don't, God's going to set your fields on fire. He said, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Amen. Now, if somebody want to preach the gospel to me, let them preach the gospel. Let them come and tell me. If somebody's got fault with you, brethren, the Bible said if you got fault with a brethren, go to the brother. Don't go tell everybody else in the country to injure the kingdom of God. Paul said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped, and that's the kind of mouths that ought to be stopped. Now, I love the Lord. I want to do what's right. But I'm going to say it just like it is in the book. Amen. If you love me, you can love me. If you don't, well, that's just the way I feel about it. Now, I want to get along with them people uptown. I want to get along with the people over yonder. I want to get along with the churches. I'll bend over backwards to do it with the neighbors. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't intend to move one peg. Not one peg. I'm going to nail the board down just exactly where it goes. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a senator, the president. I don't care if it's a sheriff. It's like I told that policeman down there, right down there, Stallings Line. I said, God will set your field on fire for what you're doing. Like I told that man right up yonder, and like I told that judge in Macon, and like I'm telling you, and like I've told many a preacher, many a businessman, it's got to be like that, folks. I love you. But now when it comes right down to what it's got to be like that. Now the Bible said, move the tail bearing, the strife will cease. If you quit running around with your long tongue saying things, then the strife will stop. Amen. Praise God. Now, is there any need to come to church? If there ain't no need, then we're a bunch of fools. If there ain't no need, then we wasted our time. If there ain't no need to come to church, then God, he's found a lie, and we might as well all quit. Because he himself testified, said, build the house and I'll take pleasure in it. He said, every man run to his own house and let the house of God lay waste. Somebody said he's talking spiritually. God done naturally and spiritually. God manifested himself in a natural body. God's got natural people. God's got natural earth. God's got natural trees. We feed our natural belly. Amen. We like the natural things. Praise God. Folks, let's wake up to this thing. Let's stop being warped up. As Brother Jerry says, all whopped up. Let's stop being like that. Let's stop getting one-sided. Let's stop being so spiritual that we walk around blind as a bat and strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Let's stop doing it. Blind leaders, if they be blind leaders, they lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. There's a right way. There's a right way. Praise God. You love the Lord? Somebody say, you sound like you're mad. No, I ain't mad at being. That's just the way I see it. That's the way I understand it. I don't believe in running off and leaving the sheep. I don't believe in doing it. I don't see it like that. These men ought to keep their mouths shut. I've helped my peace, and they've said things about the people and said things, and I've went to some of the people and got the people to go there and make it straight and got the people to try to pay them, and I've then found out it's not the people, it's them. They're bent on coming against this work. They're bent on finding fault with it. They're bent on tearing it down, and I want them to know that we ain't planning to move. We didn't do all this to move. Amen. If God says move, we'll walk off and leave it. But brother, you can believe one thing. If God don't say move, I'll be here and knock my teeth out. Amen. And stomp my brains out right out here if God give me grace to stay here. I can't do it unless he does. But if he'll give me grace, they can tramp my brains out right there. But unless God tells me to move, I don't intend to move one peg for nobody. I don't care who he is. And somebody said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've had knives stuck in my face. I've had them to reach across me, cutting at me, or cutting across me. I've had them all around me. I've had them walking around with bayonets in their hand. I'd be standing right there, and nobody to help me. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not speaking in the dark. I know all that a man's got he'll give for his life. But I know something else. I know the grace of God is sufficient.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to see somebody hollering all the time and going on. I hate a tail bearer. I hate it. God hates it too. Every little thing that goes wrong with them, they'll say, well, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and if they had been a Christian, and I don't see how a Christian could do that, and my, I just wouldn't have never thought, I don't care what you thought. You're just too long-tongued. That's what's wrong with you. If you'd swear to your own hurt a little bit and stop that kind of foolishness, you might be able to help them get straightened out. You're worried about your hide. You're worried about your flesh. You're worried about the things that you got to get, and you want. But if you'll get right with God, then go to them and tell them. You might be able to help them. As a matter of fact, if you get right with God, you might give them something instead of worrying about what you got to get from them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord. But I'm telling you, folks, we got to come together. We got to work together. We'll be scattered here and scattered yonder, and every man going this way and that way. And so, like something was said today, that somebody spoke about Brother Charlie might come down on the campground. I mean, it's just telling a dream. They wasn't saying one way or another, which could very well be. I mean, the Lord has his way in everything, and it might be that's what he wants. But I made the statement today. I said, well, I don't know about that, but I do know one thing. If there's any vacancies from now on, brethren, whoever goes down there, we'll know something about it. We got to live with them people. I knew that from the start, and I tried to tell some of you. But I knew at that particular time, some of you was in as bad a shape as somebody else. And these people have had to go to the fire, through the fire, to learn to live together. And now when we get somebody else down there, there's no need of brothers and sisters running over yonder telling somebody that we got a vacant spot just because they come in over here and they want a place, because it ain't going to do no good. Because they ain't going to move down there. We're going to come together as a council. We're going to find out about that person. Find out who they are and what they are and what their motives are. Because we didn't get the campground for people to sit down there on the campground and lullaby themselves, or to play make-believe, or to have fits and pitch temper fits and stay out of church all the time. We got those places for people that wanted to serve God, that wanted to come together. Some selfish people around here has made the statement, said, I think that what they ought to do is take the money that comes in here and give it to the people around here before they give it to somebody else. If that ain't one of the craziest things I ever heard of in my life, that don't even make sense. Why would we come together, children of God, if it wasn't for the purpose of sacrificing, denying ourselves, and helping people and doing a work for God? Isn't that the purpose we come together for? Didn't we come together to be reproved? Somebody don't like for you to reprove them, don't like for you to correct them. What did we come together for? If we're just going to try to cram everything in our own belly, the Bible said they make their belly their God and all their labors for their belly. If we're just going to cram everything in our own belly and not help nobody, why don't we just leave the campground, go get us a place, and get every dollar that we can and turn it to our own advantage and forget about God and His work? There's one thing about it. A lot of times I say this as a song. It says, you can't stop me from dreaming. Now you can stop giving, you can grumble, you can mumble, you can backbite, you can fight till some of you learn there's a reality in serving God, and then you'll quit it. Nobody won't have to tell you. When you learn what's laid up for the disobedient, then the Bible said, consider him. He won't be long, he'll be gone. When you learn what happens to them, then you'll be obedient without anybody telling you. God gives the warnings, he gives the message, he gives the instruction before he brings the judgment. But when you know, then it's required of you. Now then, you may do all of those things, but you're not going to stop me from giving. No, sir. No, sir, you're not going to stop me from giving. Now, if you want to keep your money, you can keep your money. But as long as there's a little hungry boy with a puffed out belly like I see over in Mexico, around in India, wherever it's at, as long as there's a little dirty faced girl with a half torn dress, I'm going to give something if God gives me the grace to give it. Now, if it takes meat off of your table to do it, I'm going to do it if you stick with me. If it takes meat off of mine, we're going to do it. Now, that's the way I understand it. In the day of the judgment, he's going to say, I was hungry, and you never cared enough to give me a bite to eat. Now, I was sick, and you didn't do nothing for me. Come on, folks. You're going to have to do something. Praise God. You can call this Mopper if you want to, but you're going to do something. You're going to get out and do like Mopper did. You're going to get some biscuits. You're going to get some dollars. God said to Paul, you remember the poor Paul. He said, I was careful to do it. Why did he say that? That same Paul that said, I'll remember the poor, that the apostolic church instructed him to do, that same Paul said, this I was careful to do. Said, for pure and undefiled religion is to do this. Now, I believe in the spiritual. I sought that first. I went after that first. I went across the nations first. I did first things first to the best of my ability. I laid down everything and went. I didn't try to make no preparations for myself. I'm not trying to make preparations for myself now. You say, well, what in the world are you doing? The Bible said the parents should lay up for the children. I'm trying to lay up for the children. I'm trying to help them not to have to go through so many briars to get to a few roses. I'm trying to help them do twice as much in their lifetime as I was able to do. I'm trying to share with them what little God has given me that they might be a blessing. But folks, I said this today and I say it again tonight. You don't know how serious this thing is. You can't possibly know, or you wouldn't do the way you do. This is better than the beginning. How many of you believe that? A lot of people don't believe that this is better than what Brother Branham had in the sense, extensively speaking. Now, I know nothing's no better than that he had the Word of God. I know that. But the Bible said the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Is that right? Now, did you know it's a true fact? Little Joseph with his daddy. How many of you know Brother Branham was an expert shot? Do you know that to be a fact? He was an expert shot. But did you know that little Joseph outshot him? He sure did. His daddy said it was impossible for Joseph to do what he did, but he did it anyway. That means that this last message has got to be more precise than the beginning. It's got to be right down to the hairline. I often say this, that those men under the regime of David could hit and not miss at a hair's breadth. My dear God, what a slingshot shooter. Whirl a stone and hit it a hair's breadth. That's better than men can do with a rifle. I'd almost guarantee there ain't a man living that could hit a hair with a rifle. But the Bible said they wouldn't miss it a hair's breadth. Now, boy, that's some more shooting. Somebody said them some real slingshotters. I'll tell you what, it was more than that. That had to be God in them slingshots. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe when one of them little old stones left, that the angel of the Lord just got out there and made a path for it right to its mark. Had to be. You love the Lord? And what I mean, some of them men was left-handed. You love the Lord? Praise God. Now, I want you to stand with me. If I got too hard on you, you'll just have to pray for me because that's what I believe. I believe with all my heart when you stay out of the house of God that you're listening to the devil. Now, I know there's exceptions. I told a brother today, I said, I know there's exceptions. I know there's times when you will be out of the house of God. I know that. There's times when you will be out of the house of God. Things do occur. And there is occasions and there is reasoning. But when a person practices staying out of the house of God, they are listening to Satan. You say, how do you know that? Because God will not go contrary to His Word, and that is contrary to His Word. And the Bible said, try the spirits, and the only way to try them is by the Word. And the Word definitely states, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do it the more often as you see the day approaching. Somebody said, how regular? He said, more often. As you see the day approaching, assemble yourselves together. And he said, I won't even alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. Not even one tiny alteration. Now, if the brethren had been here tonight, I don't know what the outcome was, but if the brethren had been here tonight, would that have occurred over yonder? It takes two to fight, don't it? Oh, somebody said, wait till you find out about it. It don't matter what you find out about it. Somebody said, well, so-and-so was to blame. And so-and-so said so-and-so, and one will tell it this way, and one will tell it that way, and one will crucify this, and then the other, and he'll crucify this, and in one little group, it'll get on this side to crucify the other, and the other and say, we'll take your cross, and we'll crucify him. And every one of them be in a wrong. Every one of them will be in a wrong. Because the first place, all of them was wrong not to be in the house of God tonight. That's where the trouble was to start with. Amen. I feel like singing Amazing Grace. Let's sing Amazing Grace. I feel like I need it. Amazing Grace, how sweet.
sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You know, I was speaking a while ago of somebody finding fault all the time. In case you don't know it, my son owed this man some money. Got upset because he wouldn't replace some tires and he wouldn't pay him. But the Bible's saying do good to all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Before I let it reproach us, knowing where it was heading, I went, and I'm paying it. But do you think there's been anything good said about what we did to try to keep the testimony of Christ? No. I'm going to be no good said. I'm going to find the bad. Speak of the bad. See, now I can understand people when they say that so-and-so done so-and-so, but so-and-so done so-and-so. I've seen one or two remarks made when I caught the spirit of it and saw it was flattery, trying to weave a web around somebody to get at somebody else and use somebody to blind them with flattery. The Bible said, who can stand before flattery? I saw that. But I also saw Satan's doings. Praise God. 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 Brother Al, you know the station that you was going to take, you remember? And you asked me what I thought about it, and I told you we'd have to pray and see if the Lord would speak to us about it. You asked us if we would. And you know, we prayed, and the Lord showed us exactly and showed us you, and we told you to leave it alone, you remember? The brother come to me the other day, and him not knowing about this, he said, I believe that God gave me a certain station. He said, because it's been a blessing. And then he mentioned the station that you wouldn't take. He said, I don't know who gave me that one. And he talked about what a fix it had him in. And said if it wasn't for a couple of other businesses that he had tied in with it, he didn't know what he would do. And I told him about the vision. See, the Lord protected you, brother. It worked out just exactly that way. With all of its efforts, he couldn't change it. That's how God watches over them that love him. Oh, folks, you better acknowledge the Lord in all your ways so he can direct your path. All you got to do is get a little stubborn, a little rebellious, a little self-will. Just don't follow leadership in the Spirit, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble.